That's right. We are rolling here this afternoon, rolling right here at Meet Me at the Diner. We're here with Michael Genevieve from over there at the Abbeville Opera House. And how are you doing today, Michael?
I'm fine, Ann. How are you?
I'm good. Isn't that weather kind of nice out there today?
Oh, man, I'm loving it. This has been the best spring we've had in years.
I'm telling you. I'm just worried about what summer could be now.
I know. What's July and August going to be like?
Exactly. They're talking about 35 degrees tonight. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know. What's going to happen? That's going to have to drop a lot.
Well, that's what they're saying. We'll see when it actually happens.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, you know, we always love having you on because you always are telling us all the good things that are going on at the Abbeville Opera House. And what is going on at the Abbeville Opera House?
Well, we're getting ready to close our 103rd winter theater season in Abbeville with a brand new Southern comedy called Mama Won't Fly. It's written by our good friends Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooten. They've written a number of shows that have been really popular with our Opera House audiences, and we've done a good many of their shows. As a matter of fact, they wrote a show just for us called The Hallelujah Girls, and we were lucky enough to do the world premiere of that show. And we've done a lot of Southeastern premieres of their plays, and this is one of their newest. We're probably the second or third theater in the country to have performed Mama Won't Fly, and we're just delighted to be opening it Friday night at 8 o'clock.
Well, that is exciting, and it's always good when it's something brand new out there.
It is. It's something that people hadn't seen before, but they've really developed quite a reputation, and they're favorite playwrights with our audiences. Many of our matinee performances, it's a three-weekend run we're doing, but they're already sold out. And we do have some good tickets for some of the evening shows now, but if it's a Jones, Hope, and Wooten comedy at the Opera House, the tickets do go quickly for us. And it always surprises me because they write brand new plays. It's not like people will recognize the title or say, that's a show I've always wanted to see. But for some reason, they have a real knack, a real ability to attract an audience for us. And so I don't know if people know who they are. I mean, they have won so many awards over the years. They've written for television shows like Designing Women and Golden Girls. And they've won Tony Awards. And they have, I would say, at least a dozen scripts out now, and we've probably done just about all of them at the Opera House. So they're very popular, as I said, with our audiences, and the shows are just really fun to do. And I promise they'll make you laugh.
Well, that's terrific. You know, you talk about Designing Women and Golden Girls, and, you know, those are the shows that, you know, you still turn on late at night when you're trying to relax and go to bed and wind down from the day. And you know what the shame of it is? They don't have shows like that on TV today.
Well, they really don't. These guys have a terrific ear for Southern comedy, and they write characters that we can all identify with. And they've just come up really with a very clever idea for this new script that I'm just really impressed with the way they've pulled this off.
Well, what is the script? It's Mama Won't Fly.
That's
now
right.
You get the idea that maybe she won't get on the plane.
Exactly. And you see Walker, her son, is getting married to Haley in California. Now Mama lives in Alabama. And so Walker sends his sister Savannah to Alabama with a couple of plane tickets to get Mama on the plane and to bring her to California in time for his wedding, because of course he wants Mama there at the ceremonies, but there's a problem.
Mama doesn't fly.
That's exactly right. So if Mama won't fly, what are they going to do? They end up, Savannah and Mama, along with Haley, who shows up at the last minute thinking, this would be a great opportunity for me to get to meet my future mother-in-law and spend some time with my sister-in-law, and I'll just fly back to California with them, and we can travel together, and it'll let me have an opportunity to meet my new family. Well, she gets there, and all three of them wind up driving across country in Mama's old Buick. And the things that happen to them along the way are absolutely hysterical. We've got a cast. There are about 25 characters in this play.
That's huge.
It's a huge cast. I mean, we've done musicals with smaller casts than that at the Opera House. So it really has that the feel of a large cast musical. It's very funny, but it also kind of has the feel of a Saturday Night Live sketch. The show's really written to be done with very little set. And in the style of Driving Miss Daisy, a couple of stools and a steering wheel represent the car.
Oh, I thought you'd have a Buick on
the
stage.
Well, honestly, I wanted to because Jones, Hope, and Wooten, they sent us this script when they were still working on it. So I've seen a couple of progressions of the script over the last year. And initially I thought, oh, it would be so cool to find an old Buick body and just somehow use part of that on the stage, perhaps make it into a convertible or something. But what in the way the script developed over the last year, that car doesn't make it for the entire trip.
Oh, he's giving us a few ideas.
Exactly. So their car is stolen. All their luggage is in the car. They end up getting a ride with a truck driver, Red, who gets them almost as far as New Mexico, where they're able. They have no clothes and no vehicle, and they end up in a bar, and they run into a community theater costume designer, who sells them. For beer money, sells them some clothes from the costume shop at the local community theater. So Mama ends up dressed up as a nun, and we've got Little Orphan Annie, and we've got somebody in a toga outfit, and they finally buy a car. Well, the car they end up buying is a Mini Cooper.
Well, I've got one of those, Michael.
I know. Yeah, it made me think of you when we were doing the show. So they're crammed into the Mini Cooper. It gets pulled over by a highway patrolman because that car was used in a robbery. I mean, it's just one thing after another. All the hotel rooms are full along the way, so they end up trying to sleep in one tiny little single bed that really looks more like a cot. I mean, it's just how many things can go wrong on this trip.
This sounds like a Carol Burnett show.
Carol Burnett, Harvey Korman, Tim, yes. It has that feel. When I described it, it's sketch-like Saturday Night Live, but it really does, and we even talked about it as a cast, that there really is that old Carol Burnett show to this.
Sounds like it.
And, Jones, Hope, and Wooten, I mean, quite famous and very successful television writers, a lot of their material has that situation comedy feel about it and sketch comedy feel. So we've been having a great time. We have just an absolutely incredible cast. And I think one of the reasons that those shows have played so well with our audiences over the last few years is simply because they give us what the audience wants right now, and that's just to escape and to have a good time and to laugh. And, you know, people don't want to come to the theater right now.
We're not looking for reality shows.
Or, you know, we don't want to make them sad. I think they're concerned about their future and the economy and how the price of gasoline and all of those things. So if they can just come to the Opera House for 2 hours and sit down and laugh and forget about all their troubles, that's what they want to do. And I think that's why Jones, Hope, and Wooten have been so successful with their shows.
Now, they, as you said, they've been writing for TV, but where do they live?
Well, now they live in Asheville, North Carolina.
Did they come there to retire?
They decided that they were ready to leave television writing and television work. They've got impressive credentials, and they actually looked at various areas of the country. They stopped in Texas and priced property there. They went, I think
they were on a road trip.
Beach. Yeah, they made a road trip like Mama Won't Fly all across the country, and they picked Asheville, North Carolina, of all the places. And bought homes there. They have an office there. They do all of their writing there as well. And I was just fortunate enough to meet them. We did one of the first shows that they wrote as a team was a show called Dearly Beloved, mm-hmm. which is almost a sequel to one of Jesse Jones' earlier plays, Dearly Departed. The premise of a whole family coming together in Dearly Departed because the patriarch has passed away and they're coming in for a funeral. Well, they have an entire family coming together for a wedding in Dearly Beloved. Well, we did that show at the Opera House. Now, I didn't know Joan's Hope and Wounds. I just read the script and thought, you know, we've done so well with Dearly Departed over the years, and we brought it back a number of times and had great success with that show. And I thought, Dearly Beloved, that would be a fun show to do. So
you had no connection to
them.
We
put the play together and did it at the Opera House. And out of the blue, I got a call from Joan's Hope and Wooten, and they said, you know, we have heard so much about the Abbeville Opera House since we moved here just in the last few months to Asheville. We'd love to just come down and see the show. And I said, well, hey, that would be great. We'd love for you guys to come down. And so I think they didn't know what to expect. I mean, you'd come to a small town like Abbeville. First of all, you don't expect to walk into the Opera House.
Exactly.
A turn-of-the-century opera house that's been completely restored and an incredible facility. And then I think they were surprised by the opera house itself and by the quality of the production. And they just had a great time, came to the matinee, came backstage afterwards, met the cast, told everybody what a great job they were doing, and I thought, well, that's that. Well, before they left, she said, we're working on another new script here, and it's not published yet, but I want to leave it with you. Just read it, and if you like it, let us know. And I said, oh, as soon as I read the script, I thought, oh, this is another winner. This is a very funny, they've got this southern ear for comedy. And so we did the second show for them.
Which
and,
was?
Gosh, I can't even remember. You asked me too fast. It may have been one of their Christmas productions. I can't remember. We've done really about a dozen of the shows.
Sure.
But we staged that play, and they came down for that one as well. And I guess they wanted to make sure that first production wasn't a fluke. So they came down and said, you know, you got such an incredible talent pool here, and we love what you do with our shows. Would you be interested in premiering one of our productions? So I said, yeah, we would love to do that. And they said, well, we haven't written it yet. And I said, well,
interesting.
Yeah, I said, well, what do you think it's going to be about? And they said, well,
we don't know yet.
We're not absolutely sure of that either, but if you're interested, that will motivate us to do the show. And I said, well, why don't we put it in next season at the end of the season? That way you've got a year to get this together. But I said, for us to put this show in our season, we're going to at least need a title. So they came up with the title, The Hallelujah Girls, and just sent me in film, we call it a treatment, you know, just sort of a paragraph form of, here's our idea, this is the storyline, these are the characters. So we put that in our season, sight unseen, just based on the other two shows and having met them. And they actually, we had open auditions for the show, and when we got it cast, they came to the first read-through and met the cast, and from the table read, which is what we do at our first rehearsal, we all sit around the table and read the script out loud. They were there just feverishly taking notes and things. And she said, we'd like to get one final rewrite in before you start rehearsal. So she came to our read-through. They did all three of them did. And they did just a few rewrites, got those to us literally the next day. They must have gone back to Asheville and worked through the night for that. They got all the rewrites for us. We started with that manuscript form on the show, and then they came to the final dress rehearsal to see the show, and we're here through opening night of that play. And then since that time, every time they have a new one, man, we'll grab it and perform
terrific.
The show. So
that's
they've been great friends of the Opera House, and they're delightful to work with, and we just have a good time staging their shows.
Excellent. Well, that's terrific. Now, this, of course, is going to start this Friday night.
Friday night at 8 o'clock, and we have a matinee Saturday at 3. And
except it's our
evening show. It is. They can call. We're in the box office Monday through Friday from 10 to 2, so you can give us a call and check on any cancellations. Or we do have a lot of groups and senior citizens, church groups, and tour buses that come to these shows. So you can call and check on any last-minute cancellations for the matinee. But we've got some great seats for the evening shows. So give us a call. It's 366-2157, and we're there Monday through Friday from 10 to 2.
Well, the good thing is it is staying light later. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. in the middle of the winter, it's hard to be out there that late.
Absolutely.
But with this nice weather that we're having, perfect time to go over there. So give them a call, 366-2157. We are here with the one and only Michael Genevieve. They have quite a cast here, 25 people.
Yes.
That's a huge cast.
I know, great, great character names, too. Savannah Honeycutt, Spud Farley.
Farley.
Cousin Chicken is in there. Rima Jean, Ann Ardale. It's just one
Edwina.
After
another.
Edwina. Yeah, Edwina's a good one. Edwina and Fanny. They're protesting the bar that's opened in Nickelbone, Texas. They don't want this pub to open. And there are two brothers who own it. One, because it's in Texas, wants it to be a cowboy bar, but the other one wants it to be an Irish pub. So he's dressed up like a leprechaun.
Well, you know, you can always count on the Abbeville Opera House to have a lot of good stuff going on. This sounds like a fabulous, fabulous production. It is going on this weekend, next weekend, and the following weekend.
That's right. We have a 3-weekend run, and then, you know, before you know it, we're going to be into our 33rd summer theater season that starts the 1st of June, so...
It's hard to believe.
Never ends. I know. Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah.
Well, you also are working on with a children's theater now. You've got a children's
theater.
Yes,
we've reactivated our children's theater. We've had the Opera House, or Abbeville, has actually had a youth theater since the late 50s, mm-hmm. When Fletcher Ferguson helped create that.
Fletcher Ferguson?
Fletcher Ferguson. That's right. Yeah, Fletcher Ferguson. Used to write for the Abbeville Press and Banner, and was a sports writer and an editor, and did all kinds of stuff
there.
Wore
many hats.
But, he absolutely. And he was a good friend. When I first came to Abbeville, he would drop by the rehearsals at night, and just a tremendous supporter of the theater. But most of our winter season shows will have roles for young people. Mm-hmm. We'll do something like The Sound of Music, and there'll be kids for that, or Cheaper by the Dozen and things. But this spring, there weren't that many great roles for young people in our spring season and coming up for the summer. And we just thought it'd be a good time to reactivate the youth theater. And we were fortunate enough to get Ryan Hewitt to agree. So he is the new director of the Abbeville Opera House Youth Theater. He teaches classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 5 every week at the Opera House. For grades, one class I think is grades 1 through 6, and then he has another class for 7 through 12. And then he had open auditions for his first youth theater production, which was just a couple of weeks ago, called May I Have Your Attention, Please?, which dealt with the subject of teen suicide. Very serious topic, and they had a great question and answer period with some professionals and counselors who deal with that subject after the show, and the cast came back out. And as a matter of fact, Ryan had the playwright here for that. She was in Louisville and came down just to see his staging of her production. So that was exciting. It was a great way to kick off our youth theater. And he's over there every Tuesday and Thursday teaching the classes. He's going to do a summer camp at the Opera House this year for kids too. So it's a great experience, and there's just been a tremendous interest. He's had lots and lots of people sign up, so we're very excited about that.
Well, that's great. I think that's excellent to have brought that back. You, of course, are going to have an excellent summer season. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back after South Carolina news. Do want to tell you what the temperature is out there right now, so let's check it out. What have we got going here? Oh, there's a picture on Facebook. There's Michael Genevieve right now, and, of course, your host here, Ann Eller. But what do we got here today? Right now, temperature outside, gosh, it says... I feel like, it's a 63 and light rain.
Feels warmer than that.
Yes, it does.
And drier.
Yes, and we are here in Greenwood. Yes, we have the right date here. Sometimes you wonder. What? Look at that. Yeah.
All Greenwood, right. North Dakota.
Oh, there you go. That's the problem. No, it's Greenwood, South Carolina. What are we looking for tonight? Mostly low, 38 degrees tonight, Michael. Wow. That's right. Tomorrow mainly sunny, high of only 68, though. And tomorrow night, clear skies, low of 42. So that's what we're looking at there. And while we're here, we ought to check the price of gold. Man, we have been busy with people selling gold here today, Michael. Mm. It's gold has been up. Let's check and see what it is. Did it stay up? What did it do? Right now, let's check it and see what right near the end of the day it is. Up, down, what did it do? We are at for gold. The price is, well, the price is $16.5780, so almost $16.58. Silver, $31.57. So if you've got it to sell, you know the best place to come, right here at Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 bypass between Bank of America and Burger King. I am here with Michael Genevieve. We are going to hear South Carolina news and, of course, a word from our sponsors. If you've got a question for us, though, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're right here in the back of Sharp Facets Gallery. Come by and see Michael. Come by and see me. We're right here. Hey, news is up. We'll be back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
That's right. We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We're with the one and only Michael Genevieve. He, of course, is the executive director over there at the Abbeville Opera House. You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, when you try to come up with a good selection of plays that hit all the nerves, and of course, being a small opera house, you got to try to get them all in there. How do you make those decisions on what to put in?
Well, you know, we're always looking. That's probably the hardest thing to decide, is what shows are we going to do, and finding new scripts. I mean, we go through so many plays. We do. We have a summer stock season, and then we have a five-play winter series. We do an extra show usually at Christmas, and sometimes an extra spring production. So, you know, you don't always want to keep coming back and doing the same things over and over again, although we have been known to do that in the past. But in the summer season, I get to select the shows in the season. But for
if it's successful,
I get all the credit. If it's not, I get all the blame. So, but in the winter season, we have a play reading committee. And there's four or five people, and they read scripts and try to find new scripts. And then they will, of which I'm on the play reading committee as well, and we'll put together a proposal and submit it to our Board of Governors, and then they vote on the plays. And so we try to have a nice variety. This year we opened with The Sound of Music, and then we did Our Town, Pulitzer Prize winning play. We actually did two Pulitzer Prize winning plays. We did Crimes of the Heart just right before the show we're doing now. And we did a brand new Sherlock Holmes mystery that was a great story. So we try to offer a nice variety. In the summer, this summer we're doing a show we just discovered. Our friends, we have some good friends at the Barter Theater in Virginia. They're the state theater of Virginia. And there's just been this terrific relationship between the Abbeville Opera House, where the South Carolina State Theater, Flat Rock in Hendersonville is really the North Carolina State Theater, and the Barter Theater in Virginia is the Virginia State Theater.
Now, can I ask why it's called the Barter Theater before you go on? Do they
sure.
barter for everything?
They used to, as a matter of fact. That's farmers would bring vegetables and fruit and trade them for theater tickets.
That's cool.
And that's how the theater actually got its name years ago. They've been so supportive, and we loan each other props and costumes and things for the set. And our friends at the Barter said, hey, we found this really great new musical that we were running for four weekends. Well, we have held it over, and we're running it 12 weeks here at the Barter Theater to sold-out houses. We really think you guys should look at this, because this is a great script. And, I mean, it was just so nice of them to do that.
Sure.
And, but it's not in print yet. It hasn't really been published. So they put us in contact with the writer. There's a national tour of the show. It's called Church Basement Ladies. So there's a national tour going on now with William Christopher, who used to play Father Mulcahy on MASH.
Right.
And it deals with the ladies who cook at a church in Minnesota. And they cook for all the events in the church, and so the kitchen is there in the basement. It's got some incredible songs, and we are right in the middle now putting, we haven't completely got the show cast, but we've almost got everything cast, and Tony Dunlap's got the music, and I'm looking forward to kicking off our summer season with this show. But the playwright, we said, hey, you know, if you let us do this, and he said, oh, no, when are you going to do it? I'm thrilled that you guys are interested in the show. And we said, well, we'd like to do it in June. Could we build this as like a South Carolina premiere? He said, I don't know, let me check, because I don't know whether the national tour is going to be coming to South Carolina or not, but I'll find out. And the next day he came back and he said, yep, I think they're going to be in Atlanta and they may be in Charlotte, but they're not going to be in South Carolina. So, yeah,
that's
you're
great.
The South Carolina premiere. And then we're closing our summer season with another South Carolina premiere of a new Ken Ludwig comedy called The Fox on the Fairway, which is all about golf. I think it's going to be one of those shows that women won't have to drag their husbands out to see. This is going to be, it is hysterically funny. Ken Ludwig wrote Leading Ladies and Lend Me a Tenor and just some great comedies. And this is his newest. So we're going to be able to do the South Carolina premiere of that show. And in between those two, we're sandwiching my favorite mystery thriller, Death Trap. So that'll be, we've got something going on every weekend all summer long, beginning the 1st of June. So it's going to be an exciting season.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, but economically, how's the theater doing? I mean, you know, these things cost money to do, folks.
Oh, absolutely. You know, people, they don't realize it when they'll come to see something like The Sound of Music, and they'll say, oh, look, they're packing them in, the square's full of cars, and it's true, we are, but the cost of producing musicals is just... it's become astronomical. $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 for royalties.
Just for the permission
to get the rights to do the show. Then they rent you the scripts, they rent you the music, you know, they kind of nickel and dime you. So you have to sell out almost just to make ends meet. Unless you're lucky enough to run into like one of these Jones, Hope, and Wooten comedies, which really sells like a musical for us, but it actually costs like a situation comedy, and much less in royalties, and those are the kind of shows that you dream about having in a theater. And so I think this is going to bring our 104th winter season to a really nice, successful close this year, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm hoping that it carries on our tour buses, senior citizen groups, and all of those seem to really be picking up at the Opera House. They have...
They have picked up
a good bit this year, so if gasoline prices doesn't jump too much more, I think we'll be good to go.
Well, that's good to hear. You know, you've had a new roof put on.
We did. We just finished that. The scaffolding, if you've been by the Opera House lately, you know, seemed like, well, it was months and months. We had this scaffolding all around the front of the theater, but yeah, we have a brand new roof now, so the scaffolding is all removed. The town square looks, it's never looked better. It's just beautifully done. And they're still doing some work on South Main Street leading into town, but they've got the trees and the bushes, and they're doing the brick work on the sidewalks and things now, and all the new lamp posts, and all of our... All the electricity and everything, that's been run underground on the square, so there's no cables running across like it was. So it really is beautiful.
You know, people need to come out to Abbeville. You know, sometimes it seems like, oh my God, it's so far away, but it's so close.
Oh, 15 minutes.
I know, yeah. But people talk about, oh, all the way to Abbeville.
Yeah.
And we have people that come from Abbeville over here to Sharp Facets. Well, I'm coming out of town.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How far are you coming
from?
Make
a trip.
Exactly.
Yeah, let me pack a lunch.
Exactly. Well, we are here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We are here with Michael Genevieve. When we come back, we've got a little more to talk about. It's all about the Abbeville Opera House today. Coming up this weekend is the premiere of Mama Don't Fly right here in Abbeville. So don't you go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
right. We're having a happy afternoon here. In fact, coming up after this show, it's happy hour with Ann. Yes, we're going
to... I'll drink to that.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about it is, I can drink because I'm not driving.
Yeah, you're home.
Exactly. So I hope you'll stay right with us when we get finished at 5 o'clock. Happy hour with Ann. It's got some great music, if I do say so myself, a little little news, a little good stories, and kind of winding up and trying to get you with an attitude adjustment as you go home at the end of the day. So that's what we'll be doing right there at 5 o'clock. But, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, where does your audience come from?
You know, it's kind of interesting. The Opera House has always kind of been a regional theater. Our talent pool comes, of course, from Abbeville and Greenwood, but we have a lot of actors from Augusta and Columbia and Charlotte and Greenville who come and work with us. But our audiences... not only come from Abbeville and Greenwood, actually that's a really small percentage of our attendance. About 85% of the people who come to the Opera House come from outside the state of South Carolina.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
It is kind of unusual. Over the years, we've kind of cultivated we've got 35 to 40 tour bus operators that we work with on a regular basis, and they come from Virginia and Tennessee and the Carolinas and Florida, and they come... back in the 90s, they were coming almost to every show. Mm-hmm. And then, as we talked about the gasoline prices and things like that, they're being a little more selective in picking the shows that they're coming. And they want to make sure the tour bus is full of people and that they don't have any empty seats. But we're very fortunate because people come from, the Carolinas and Tennessee and really from all over the place. A lot of our attractiveness is that the theater itself has such a wonderful historical significance.
Exactly.
And the audience, many times I really get the feeling that, it's Saturday afternoon and they've rolled into town, they've gone to Yoder's and they had lunch and they came by, they dropped them off in front of the theater, and those people get out of the bus, they know it's Abbeville, they know they're coming to the Abbeville Opera House, but they probably have no idea what it is they're going to come to see. It's the play, because we're in Abbeville, and then we get back on the bus when this show's over, and we're going to Florida. So, and we're so conveniently located midway between New York and Miami.
Yeah,
so,
well, there you go.
But
could do a play about that.
Yeah,
people
I guess
we
you
have
could.
Known. Yes,
but
okay.
Yeah, we do, and we do have a lot of season ticket holders though from Greenwood and from Columbia and Augusta and that area as well. But really, our bread and butter is our tour bus business that we've kind of built up over the years.
That's terrific. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, not only is the Abbeville Opera House there, but good places to eat and come and spend
man.
The night.
Yeah, we've got great antique gift and curio shops, lots of bed and breakfasts in the area, and it's just, you can, a lot of our audience members, they'll come early on a Saturday and tour the square and go and have lunch and then come to the play, or they'll do the matinee and then go out to dinner in the evening. The restaurants in town are really good about getting everybody in. If you tell them, hey, I'm going to the show tonight, they'll get you out in time to make that 8 o'clock curtain and things. So it works quite well, and honestly I don't think Abbeville has ever looked better. It's beautiful, and we've got just great antique gift and curio shops around.
We've got an excellent chamber there that's working hard to make sure that things are coming together and
Absolutely.
Making it a destination.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I was thinking about, you've been on the show so many times that we don't ever give it a thought, but you're not from Abbeville. How did you end up in Abbeville would be my question.
It's just an overnighter.
Yeah.
Turned into 30 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, actually, when I went to Florida State University and got an MFA in directing, and then when I got out of school, I was at the Actors Theater in Louisville for a year, and then started acting and did a lot of dinner theaters. All back in the 70s, they were just starting to die out, but they were still popular enough that...
And you traveled
there
to
was,
different ones.
Right, and you'd do a month in Atlanta at the Barn Dinner Theater, and then you'd be in Montgomery, Alabama at the Lamplighter, and you'd be over in Jacksonville for a month at the Alhambra. And so I was working...
So you were a gypsy.
Exactly. And I realized that a lot of these dinner theaters, well, we were booked out of Atlanta to Montgomery, Alabama, and from Montgomery we're supposed to take this play to Columbia, South Carolina, because they had a dinner theater at the time. Well, they wanted to hold us over in Montgomery. So the and I thought, what's the guy in Columbia doing? What if he doesn't want to hold his show over and wait for this? How does this work? Right. And so after about a year of doing that dinner theater circuit, I put together my own touring company. And we sold package plays to dinner theaters and resorts and country clubs. We had 14 shows that were on the road at any one time. And I did that for 8 years. So
that's
traveled.
A headache.
Traveled. And I loved
did
it.
You
people
love it?
Say, oh, you know, that'll get old. But I like eating in restaurants. I like staying in hotels. I mean, I enjoy that. So we traveled year round for 8 years. And we were someplace performing, like at Hilton Head or Amelia Island or some resort. And a fellow in Abbeville by the name of George Settles, who was at that time the director of the development board, he saw us performing and stayed around after the show and said, I want you guys to come to Abbeville because I want you to see this theater that we have there. The community theater, the community had actually restored the theater in 1968. And the community theater moved in, and they did a community theater season for the next 10 years. And then in 1978, they decided they'd like to see what the response would be to a summer season of shows. But they knew they couldn't do it with an all-volunteer group like a community theater group. So they booked us in one summer, and we just did a couple of the shows that we were touring. But as soon as we walked into that space, you know, performing in the round in dinner theaters or working country clubs or convention groups, when we walked in and saw that 100-year-old opera house, I mean, it was incredible. And we did the first season of shows, and we were lucky to have 35 or 40 people in the house on the weekends. Mm-hmm. But we decided, let's come back the next summer and do a full summer season. Now, we weren't in residence exactly. We would just come in, and we did 10 plays in 10 weeks.
Wow.
So we would come in Friday, set up, do the show Friday night, do a Saturday matinee, or a Saturday show, and I think we did a Sunday matinee back then, and then we would hit the road on Sunday, drop the set off at our offices in Columbia, and head back. We had a summer season at Kiawah Island that year, and we also had a summer dinner theater going at Fripp Island. So we made the rounds that summer, about killed us. And we decided the third year we would come and be in residence at the Opera House. And we were the first theater company in residence there since 1917. And it was that season has now grown. This will be our 33rd summer theater season there. So
really in residence there.
Right? Really in residence there, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's terrific, and certainly from 35, 40 people a show to how many people?
About 350.
350?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tremendous increase.
Absolutely.
It's got to make you good, Michael, as you reflect back on your life here.
Oh, it does. It's an absolutely incredible facility and a really special stage to work on. I think everybody feels like that, and it's one of the reasons so many of our actors keep coming back and doing shows with us over and over again.
Absolutely. Now, just describe for us, the theater is several stories high.
Oh, yeah, it is. You know, it's unique in that so many of the opera houses, especially in the South, were built out. Mm-hmm. They were built on one level because property in the South wasn't as valuable as New York City property.
Sure.
But in the 1880s, there was a Broadway theater where the Keith Circuit produced a lot of its vaudeville productions. And one of the most popular tours was from New York to Richmond and from Richmond to Atlanta. So for a number of years, for about 20 years, Abbeville was always an overnight stay for all of these New York companies coming through town. And the community got the idea, if we had some kind of a facility, we could sponsor all of these New York shows coming through town. So they wrote to the producers in New York who sent them the ground plans to a theater in Manhattan. They took those ground plans, and that is now the Abbeville Opera House. But it's also the reason that it looks like a New York theater. It's built up. We have the box seats on each side. We have four floors of dressing rooms with four dressing rooms on each floor. We've got a balcony. We all actually have a second balcony. It's got a mezzanine and a balcony there. The second one is no longer open to the public, so we just use the orchestra seating downstairs where we seat 218 people. We seat 75 people in our balcony, and then we have 4 to 6 people in each one of the box seats there on the side. But it looks like the Ford Theater, or it looks like any number of New York playhouses, because that's what the Opera House was based on. Yeah. And I think it surprises people. That's one of the things when you walk down in. I'll have friends who will come to visit, and of course the first thing they want to do is come see the Opera House. And when you walk down the steps into the theater, it's like you've been taken away. It is surprising. I love it. During the week, we have so many tourists come through, and it's just still fun for me to look at the reaction on their faces when they make that turn into the theater and see this space in a little town like Abbeville.
Absolutely. You know, that is one of the wonderful things. If you haven't been over there to the Abbeville Opera House, this play coming up would be an excellent one to take that plunge, right?
Absolutely. I promise we'll make you laugh. Mama Won't Fly is just, it's a great script. We've got an incredibly talented cast of people telling you a really funny story. So we'll make you laugh, and it'll be a good 2 hours.
That's right. And Mama Won't Fly, kind of reminiscent of some of those old comedies on TV.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So I certainly hope you'll get out and see it. The telephone number over there, Michael?
Is 366-2157. We're there Monday through Friday from 10 to 2. Now on Friday, actually, that's opening night. We'll be there right up until curtain time, which is at 8 o'clock. The tickets are $20 for adults, they're $18 for seniors, and they're $10 for students from kindergarten to college.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a good deal. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming out here and sharing some time. It's always good to sit down and talk to you about what's going on over at the Abbeville Opera House.
Oh, thank you so much, Anne.
All right. Well, listen, we are going to be back in just a few minutes. Yes, I get a 5-minute break while the news is on.
Wow.
I tell you what, I'm going to switch my hat, and we're going to be right back with Happy Hour with Anne. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. We'll be back. Don't you go away.